ready to go. Ready to go. Good morning. The time is 9:07. Currently a terrific start here in downtown Wausau at our Bow Falls Radio Studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. A lot of sunshine, temperature of 48 degrees. I'm Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, you can also join us with our video stream by going to the Bow Falls Radio page at facebook.com and also x.com. And you can also share your thoughts with the program. If there's something that you want to talk about, you can call or text. We have a dedicated line for calls and texts right here to this program at our studios in downtown Wausau. Again, if you tune into any of the other programs on the Civic Media Radio Network, they have their statewide number, but for this program, we have our own number, 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297 to join us. And again, if there's something that we are not talking about that you think we should be talking about, if there's anything on your mind, if you have a response to something we're talking about, let us know. Again, if you don't want to call in, you just want to text in, feel free as well. 715-382-9297. And again, make sure you know that number by Friday as well, because just like last Friday, where we started our new contest for Fridays to give you an opportunity to win an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells with water park passes for four and also a $25 gift certificate for food, make sure you have it, because we're doing it again on Friday this week, and we're going to do it again on Friday, every Friday through the end of May. Every Friday through May, a chance to win an overnight stay at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells with water park passes and a food certificate right here on this program on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. So again, it was really a great response last Friday, and we expect to do it again twice this Friday to give you two chances to win. Before we go any further, need to say good morning to our in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Again, if you missed it in the first hour, we talked about Ian's big weekend. He turned 30 years old on Saturday.
Yep.
It was a birthday weekend, but a big birthday weekend when you turn 30. I can't even remember when I turned 30. It was so long ago, but it did sound like you had a wonderful time. And
it had so much fun.
And it has not been too traumatic going from 29 to 30.
No, actually, it's been pretty good so far. Hopefully, it keeps up that way, too.
Fantastic. Also, I imagine that being Monday, you get back to the rehearsal grind. Yep. I mean, it's hard to believe we're getting towards the end of April. And I remember when you started the rehearsal, I think it was like the first Monday of April.
It was April Fool's Day.
There you go.
That was the first official rehearsal day.
Yep, you're exactly right. It was Monday the 1st. So
we are close to a month away from our first show.
So you're about almost, you're getting not quite to halfway, but in another week or so, you'll be about halfway to from the start of rehearsal to the start of the production. Where are you right now? Are you still on book? Are you still in the blocking? Are you what?
We're still on book for now. Our director will let us know officially we'll be off book. This week we're moving on to the blocking and working on the lines more. We actually have a good feel for the songs and the dances, and then we're kind of moving on to the third aspect of, working on the lines, building our character, or is where our characters are supposed to go, like what's their motivation, things like that. So for me personally, that's my favorite apart because it gives me a chance to kind of expand on my character and try different things.
Fantastic. So you're feeling like you're in a good spot at this point.
I feel like we're in a very good spot right now. So we've got some work to do. But overall, I think we're actually doing very well. For where we are, I'd say we're in a pretty good place.
Fantastic. Very, very good. Hey, you know what today is?
It's Earth Day.
It is Earth Day. Do you know who is the originator of Earth Day?
Oh, I do not know.
It's from Wisconsin, in fact. The person really? That is basically thought of as the originator of Earth Day is Gaylord Nelson. He was a former governor and also a former senator from the state of Wisconsin, and he is thought of as the originator. Basically, the seeds that grew, which is a good way to put it, that led into the first Earth Day were planted by then Wisconsin Senator, former Governor Gaylord Nelson. And Gaylord Nelson, an ardent conservationist and former two-term governor of the state of Wisconsin, Nelson had long sought ways to increase the potency of the environment as a political issue. And basically, he used the space race and everything else where you saw the pictures of the Earth and you saw exactly how powerful it was to see the Earth from the moon and to be able to really have an idea. And part of it as well was the energy on the college campuses in the late 60s, early 70s because of the war in Vietnam. Right. And basically there was a thought of where the priority should be. Should it be on war and trying to avoid the so-called domino theory of trying to stop communism in Vietnam, or was it about trying to turn your attention to areas such as the environment? And basically, the first Earth Day started as a bunch of teach-ins at a number of colleges around the country. So again, it started with some environmental teach-ins and then really turned into Earth Day, but it was 1970, the first Earth Day, April the 22nd, and every year it is April the 22nd. And sometimes I wonder, again, when you think about something like Earth Day, are we doing enough? Are we better than we were
60 years ago? Are we still in the same place?
It's hard to say because I think there are a lot of different aspects to it. I still think that, you know, when you look at the reliance on fossil fuels that we still have, that, I mean, there's still that argument. I mean, boy, anytime you have legislation that's trying to be passed in the United States Congress,
you have those
who talk about, you know, that, no, we have to continue to stay with the fossil fuels and that you know we don't have the abilities to make the change. And again, there's the battles that continue day after day and year after year, and now it's what 54 years ago that was the first Earth Day, and it's hard to say where we are. I think that there's something about this country, and again, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you disagree with me, and if you do disagree with me, feel free to let me know. But there's this idea that in my mind that in the United States of America, we don't do things big when it comes to, like, you know, I would say, you know, ultimately at some point we're going to run out of the resources, the natural resources that lead to, you know, oil exploration and the such.
Yeah.
But we're not going to do anything. And when it comes to global warming and climate change, ultimately, I mean, it feels as though this country does not try to fix a major issue until it almost gets to the point where you have to do it. I think there's this reticence to trying to do things preemptively. Then, frankly, I will say right here in central Wisconsin, when you saw what former Mayor Katie Rosenberg did when it came to issues such as clean water, that ultimately it's like, well, yeah, the common sense idea is, yeah, you would have to do something. But in the end, when it leads to a cost, and the cost was seeing higher bills that came to folks' homes, It's like, well, why do we have to do it so quickly? Why couldn't we do it more slowly? Why couldn't we do it in a way where we didn't have to pay more money for it? I mean, there's always this idea that I think in the United States of America that you have to wait until you absolutely have to do something about it.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And I do sense that when it comes to issues of the environment, and when you see what we've had in the last year or two, when it's record after record after record for temperatures,
yeah,
that there's, I think, very little doubt that there is something going on here.
Uh-huh.
And yet,
as I mentioned, the hurricanes and
yes,
the droughts and the floods and the...
But yet, it is a consistent battle to try to do anything that could perhaps alter the curve when it comes to climate change.
I mean, the evidence is all around us, and yet some people just, you know, refuse to look out the window. They close the blinds and pretend like, oh, it's not my problem.
But also,
somebody else
yeah,
will deal with it.
But also,
that
it's like,
not the way we should think about
but
it.
But also, it's like, will it cost us some money? Oh, we can't do it then. We can't be spending money.
It's all about the financial problems with some people, not the humanitarian. You know, it's not about losing money. It's about trying to save people's lives.
And also, ultimately, there's the old adage, you got to spend money to make money. You know, in this case,
exactly,
if we have to, you'd have to spend money to save money. Because as we continue to see, as you said, hurricanes and other natural disasters that are being fueled by this warmer earth, because when you add the heat, these storms,
oh, yeah,
become much, much more strong and leads to greater damage and greater price tags in order to fix the damage. So you have to look at it a different way, that if you're spending money on the front end, sort of like your car, instead of waiting for your car to break down and then being forced to spend a lot of money in terms of fixing it, mm-hmm, you try to do the basic maintenance in order to not have to pay these massive costs to have the car fixed. And the same thing it should be when it comes to the climate, where you want to try to spend some money on the front end so you're not spending more money on the back end. And I just wonder, here on this Earth Day 2024, 54 years after the first Earth Day, where are we? Are we, I would say yes, in many ways we're moving in the right direction, but in other ways we're not moving fast enough. The time is 9:18. It was a good weekend for the Brewers and the Bucks. We're going to touch on that with a sports update coming up next here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 12:30. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, the time is 9:21. Beautiful start here in downtown Wausau. Temperature stands at 48 degrees, plenty of sunshine. Boy, oh boy, again, just a gorgeous start. Expect a pretty nice day generally. A few clouds will be moving in later on before we have a chance of rain tonight into tomorrow. So we'll keep an eye on the weather forecast, and we do that every hour, twice an hour, in fact, the weather forecast at the top and bottom of the hour. We have information updates at the bottom and top of the hours, news, weather, and sports. And speaking of sports, it was a really good weekend. Boy, if you're a fan of both the Milwaukee Bucks and the Milwaukee Brewers, and the Bucks, who had struggled mightily coming down the stretch, really were struggling big time, had an under 500 record since making a coaching change, had dropped from number 2 to number 3 seed for the Eastern Conference playoffs. And in fact, even though they were the home team, even though they were the higher seeded team. They were the underdogs last night, according to Vegas, in game one of their Eastern Conference first round series with the Indiana Pacers. But the Bucks came out and they took charge early behind Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard came out in the first half and poured in 35 points. The Bucks took a halftime lead of 69-47. They struggled in the second half. In fact, in the third quarter, scored only 14 points, but were able to hold on and defeat the Pacers by a score of 109-94. Again, it was just a fantastic effort in game number one. And it's best of seven, so we can't say that, oh, okay, Bucks are turning around. But at the same time, you need to win those home games, especially playing without Giannis. Giannis still out with that calf injury. The thought is maybe he'll be back when the series goes to Indiana later in the week. But in the end, the Bucks, if they're able to hold court at home, then get Giannis back when they get to Indiana, that would be, I think, a best-case scenario for the Bucks. Lillard, 35 points last night. Chris Middleton added 23 and also 10 rebounds. And Bobby Portis, who sat in for Giannis in the starting lineup for Milwaukee, he added a double-double, 15 points and 11 rebounds. Game two, tomorrow night at Pfizer Forum. Again, the Bucks, great win yesterday, but can't afford to give up the home court tomorrow night. Big game two, Bucks and the Indiana Pacers tomorrow evening. And expected that Giannis, again, will not be available for the Milwaukee Bucks. And one of the biggest surprises, in fact, I would say by far the biggest surprise right now in Major League Baseball are the Milwaukee Brewers. Going into this year, the thought was the Brewers, after trading Corbin Burns, not having the same level of starting pitching depth that they've had in recent years that helped the Brewers to the playoffs on a regular basis. Well, they had a new manager in Pat Murphy after Craig Counsell left. Again, just a lot of question marks about the Milwaukee Brewers going into this year, and yet they have come out and have the best road record in Major League Baseball and one of the best records in Major League Baseball. The Brewers yesterday, they went to St. Louis this weekend and completed a three-game sweep of the Cardinals. You don't do that very often, and the Milwaukee Brewers were able to win Friday night, Saturday, and then Sunday. And yesterday, it was great pitching for the Brewers. They defeated the Cardinals by a score of 2-0. The Brewers got a two-run single from Owen Miller in the seventh inning. Colin Ray tossed five scoreless innings for the win for Milwaukee. The Brewers now 14-6 on the season, winners of four games in a row. They'll take on the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight in Pittsburgh as they look to continue their winning ways. In fact, looking at the National League Central Division right now, you got the Brewers and the Cubs in 1-2. But right now it is the Milwaukee Brewers with a two-game lead over Craig Counsell and the Chicago Cubs. The Brewers are 14-6. The Cubs are 13-9. Cincinnati is 12-9, 2.5 games back. Pittsburgh, who the Brewers face tonight, have been struggling recently. They have a six-game losing streak and now are 11-11 on the season. And the Cardinals back in the cellar, 9-13 on the year. In fact, when you look at the National League, the Brewers are tied with the Atlanta Braves for the best record in the NL. And in fact, those two teams have the best records in Major League Baseball. Atlanta and Milwaukee, 14-6, 700 winning percentage, the best records in MLB. Really, again, it is so early. It is such a long season when it comes to Major League Baseball. But boy, what a pleasant surprise for the Brewers. And right now they're doing it even without Christian Yelich. Yelich, who got off to a red-hot start, has been battling some back injury issues, and he is out right now, yet the Brewers continue to find a way to win. And also a big week if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, coming up starting later in the week on Thursday, it is the NFL Draft, and we'll find out the newest members of the Green Bay Packers, and coming off what was a fantastic draft, see what Brian Gutekunst has up his sleeve here in 2024. So again, when it comes to the professional teams, busy time and a good time to be a professional sports fan here in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Also, we keep an eye on the local high schools. And this week, our high school broadcast schedule, as we continue to bring you live play-by-play coverage of Wausau West Marathon and Newman Catholic High School sports here on Bow Falls Radio. tomorrow, our first game of the week. It's a good one in the Wisconsin Valley Conference in high school baseball. The Wausau West Warriors and the D.C. Everest Evergreens. A good one between the Warriors and the Evergreens tomorrow. We will have live coverage right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, we will begin with the pregame show tomorrow at 4:50 and the first pitch at 5 p.m. Then on Thursday, it will be the Marathon High School baseball team. They will travel to Wisconsin Rapids, take on the Assumption Royals, and we will have coverage of that one on Thursday, starting with the pregame show at 4:35 and the first pitch at 4:45. And then as well, we will have the Wausau West Warriors in action in a doubleheader on Friday. Wausau West will take on Oshkosh North. We'll have coverage of that one. In fact, those two games, doubleheader on Friday with the pregame show at 3:50 and the first pitch at 4 p.m. So, again, that's our high school broadcast schedule for And it's all baseball this week, baseball with Wausau West and also Marathon Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. We get back into softball next Monday with Wausau West against Marshfield, and then a week from tomorrow with Newman Catholic at Assumption. So we'll go baseball this week, and then we'll start off heavy on the softball next week. And again, very proud to be the only Wausau radio station that still provides live play-by-play of high school sports, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. We have a information update coming up, find out what's going on in the news, also weather and sports, and then we're going to come back and talk about 50 years of trickle-down economics. A new study kind of illuminates what I think most of us with common sense know. Trickle-down does not work. The time is 9:29. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:35 here on this Monday morning, Monday, the 22nd day of April, 2024. It is Earth Day. Happy Earth Day to all of you. And mentioned earlier, came across this weekend on a study that I wanted to mention because, again, as we go into 2024, we are going to hear what the parties want to do should they be in power in Washington when it comes to either controlling the Congress, because right now we have a very balanced Congress, both in terms of the United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate. And then, of course, there is, I think you may have heard about it, a presidential election as well. And one thing that we usually hear when it comes to the GOP is one thing every single election, especially on the presidential side, is I will cut your taxes. And usually when you get into the weeds of what those tax cut proposals are, it comes down to I will cut the taxes of the rich, because if we cut the taxes of the rich, the economy will grow, and then the benefits will trickle down to everybody else. And this, again, if you're a student of history, goes back about 50 years. Really, the whole idea of supply-side economics as an American political force began in the 1970s. And Ronald Reagan was one of the early proponents where, in terms of candidates for the presidency, to hitch his wagon to the whole idea of supply-side economics. So we got about 50 years now of evidence, because once Reagan was elected president in November of 1980 and took office in January of 1981, he immediately went to work on implementing the whole idea of trickle-down. And whether it's been Republicans or Democrats in power, and while there have been subtle changes to the tax code going up at times, the tax code has gone down and down and down when it comes to the tax rates for the wealthiest over the last 50 years for the most part. So we got quite a bit of evidence to look at over the past 45 years of in terms of actual legislation being passed. And of course, the tax cuts for the wealthy have been, I think, the number one plank in a conservative political campaign since 1980. Well, there is a new study from the London School of Economics. And this study has one big point it wants to make. One big point. Tax cuts, trickle-down tax cuts, have helped one group. Just one group. Do you have any idea who that one group would be that it has helped? Ian, who do you think trickle-down economics have helped?
The wealthy?
You're one for one this week, so for one already.
Is that one number right so far?
There you go. Yep, The Wealthy, The Rich. The new paper by David Hope of the London School of Economics and Julian Lindbergh of King's College of London examines 18 developed countries from Australia to the United States. So, again, it's not just been a United States phenomenon. This has been an idea economically that's been pushed in all parts of the world by conservatives since the 1970s. And in fact, this only goes, they actually looked at it because they took the data from 1965 to 2015, a 50-year period. Not even since 2015. That's been almost a decade. And we saw, of course, the Trump tax cuts after that. So again, there would be even more evidence here in the United States. But the study compared countries that passed tax cuts in a specific year, such as here in the United States in 1982, when President Ronald Reagan slashed taxes on the wealthy with those that didn't, and then examined their economic outcomes. So there were countries that did not slash taxes for the wealthy in 1982, and the United States that did. How did they compare? Per capita, gross domestic product, and unemployment rates were nearly identical after 5 years in countries that slashed taxes on the rich and those that didn't, the study found. But the analysis did discover one major change. The incomes of the rich grew much faster in countries where tax rates were lowered. Instead of trickling down to the middle class, tax cuts for the rich may not accomplish much more than help the rich keep more of their riches and exacerbate income inequality. And that's one area, again, in addition to the rich getting richer, the whole idea of income inequality. And yet, like we talked about with David Zaslav in the first hour,
right,
there seems to be, and again, maybe I'm wrong on this, but there seems to be a lack of a pushback on this, that people should be more upset over this. The idea of a CEO getting hundreds and thousands of times greater pay than the average worker within that company.
Well, absolutely. It's unfair.
It is unfair.
And yet, some people just don't, was either they don't care or hopefully they don't know. I mean, if they don't care, that's a whole nother problem.
According to one of the co-authors of the study, and they told CBS, based on our research, we would argue that the economic rationale for keeping taxes on the rich low is weak. In fact, Julian Lindbergh said, if we look back into history, the period with the highest taxes on the rich, the post-war period, was also a period with high economic growth and low unemployment. So, again, there is evidence out there that this idea that will be run on again, Donald Trump has already talked about this. If he gets elected again, that one of his top priorities is, again, another massive tax cut for the wealthy, for the rich. They try to say, oh, tax cuts for everybody. But when you look at the percentage of these tax cuts that goes towards lower and middle income folks compared to those that go to the number of dollars that go towards the upper income, it's no comparison.
See, something I don't understand about the tax cut for the rich, it's like, you're putting too much faith in the rich people. It's like, so if you give a tax cut to the rich, you know, the rich are going to be grateful, and then they'll think, well, since I'm getting a break and all this, how about I take some of my money and give it to people who don't have as much money? It's like, okay, not every rich person is selfish. I agree with that.
But you know what's really ironic?
It's a very small percentage.
Yeah, but let me jump in here, because there's also a point that I think I can piggyback on what you're saying. In these decades where we have seen the tax cuts for the highest earners get slashed over and over again by people like Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush and Donald Trump, that's not enough. They still look to hide money in tax havens around the world. They still look for ways to somehow use ways of within the tax code to not pay any taxes. I mean, and it goes back to the point I made in the very first segment of this program today. Yeah. How much is enough? How much, you know, it's like, you know, with how much truly is enough? And it's never enough. It really is. It's never enough. As I've said back, you know, with like the NFL, they could be raking in the money. And they have been in recent years, but they're still going to look for more ways. They're going to Brazil to play a football game with the Packers and the Eagles in week 1 this year because
they just seem pretty silly.
They want to expand the markets. They want to bring in more money to the NFL. So, again, even when you give these massive tax cuts, they're still looking for ways to further cut the amount of money they put into our system. And, again, this study is very clear in its results doesn't even count Trump's massive tax overhaul, which he signed into law in late 2017, slash taxes for the rich and corporations while providing, again, a moderate cut for the middle class. Said, and basically the folks who were behind this survey at the London School of Economics said, don't expect the results of that tax cut to be any different than what they've seen over the previous 50 years. And Trump's tax cuts did lift the fortunes of the ultra-rich. According to a 2019 study from two prominent economists, Emmanuel Saez and Gabriel Zuckman of the University of California, Berkeley, in that study, for the first time in a century, and if you go back to the late 19th century, early 20th century, known as the Gilded Age, where the rich got richer all the time before the run-up to the Great Depression. But for the first time in a century, the 400 richest American families paid lower taxes in 2018 than people in the middle class. Can you believe that? In 2018, after the tax cut pushed through by Trump and the Republicans, the 400 richest American families paid lower taxes in 2018 than people in the middle class. The careful new research from the London School Economics team suggests that, indeed, tax increases on the wealthy should be considered post-COVID. Good luck, though, in this country saying you're going to raise taxes on anybody, even the super rich. I mean, it really is ridiculous, the economic policies that has been pushed, and pushed by the Republican Party and the conservative movement since the mid-1970s. And the results are in. It doesn't work. It gives the people that already have the money even more money, and the people that don't have the money even less money. Mm-hmm. Bottom line. And yet, we're going to have a campaign that is constantly being talked about, Donald Trump, and they're going to get up there, they're going to have screaming fans, and they're going to say, I'm going to cut your taxes, when it doesn't work. It doesn't work for growing the economy. It does not work for making our country a more equitable place to live, and it doesn't work for any of the reasons that they say that it does work.
Yeah.
It trickle down does not work, bottom line, and we need to take a long, hard look, and not only a hard, long, hard look, but actually have actions that change how we are dealing with economic factors. And again, when you have conservative politicians talking about cutting Social Security, cutting Medicare and Medicaid, cutting, because they don't want to raise taxes on the super rich, there is a major problem. And that should be a layup for Democratic politicians to say why that is a bad thing. It mm-hmm. should be a layup. It should be something that they're able to win the battle of ideas on, and that's what we need to do during this election. The battle of ideas, and to change the whole mindset when it comes to economic policy in the United States of America.
Yeah.
The numbers don't lie.
Yep. It's not a trickle. It's a plug.
It is a plug. We need to get the drain cleaner and mm-hmm. pour it in there and see that drain clog go away. Because right now, again, the battle of the ideas is what we need to have in 2024.
You know, it's interesting because if you have the money, apparently you have more choices. If you don't have the money, you have less choices. So it's like, in a way, they're taking away the freedom of the middle and lower classes. People with the higher classes
have
the most power, and they can make the
And the thing is, the lower and middle class people, they spend the money because they have to spend it for the things that they need in their everyday life, while the rich people take all these massive tax cuts and they put them into, you know, hideaways.
Exactly.
All right. Mm-hmm. I found that to be a very interesting study, and I would suggest that those of you check it out. There's a story on CBSNews.com, but if you check out the search out that London School of Economics survey, I should not say survey, but study on tax mm-hmm. cuts over the last 50-plus years. All right, we'll test out Ian coming up.
Yes.
Our daily history lesson straight ahead. The time is 9:49. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Can you feel it? And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, it is the 22nd day of April of 2024. That means that we are up to, what are we up to? At 60, then we had March 91. 113th day of this year. If I'm doing some quick adding in my head, day number 113, that means there are 253 days remaining in 2024. And some famous events have occurred on this date in history. In 1876, the Boston Red Stockings defeated the Philadelphia Athletics in the first National League baseball game. The National League, which is still in business today, started on April the 22nd of 1876. On this date in 1970, the first Earth Day was celebrated. On this date in 1976, Barbara Walters became the network television's first news anchor woman when she accepted ABC's offer to co-anchor the evening news with Harry Reasoner. On the 22nd day of April in 1993, the Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C. was dedicated. 20 years ago today, 2004, former NFL star Pat Tillman, he had played for the Arizona Cardinals, he had turned down a lucrative contract with the Cardinals to join the Army Rangers after 9/11. Well, Pat Tillman on this date in 2004 was killed in Afghanistan. The U.S. military said later he was a victim of friendly fire. On this date in 2012, the TV political comedy Veep, starring Julia Louis-Dreyfus, premiered on HBO. On this date in 2019, Marvel Films' Avengers Endgame premiered in Los Angeles.
Oh, yes. Fantastic film. Great film.
And 1 year ago today in 2023, Len Goodman, the beloved ballroom champion and longtime judge on Dancing with the Stars and its British counterpart Strictly Come Dancing, died of bone cancer at age 78. Some famous folks are celebrating their birthdays today. Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yes.
Great actor.
Fantastic actor.
Guy that also spent a lot of time courtside at LA Lakers games. Big fan of the Lakers. But Jack Nicholson, massive, massive superstar, 87 years old today. Peter Frampton, turning 74 years old today, musician. Actor Jeffrey Dean Morgan of The Walking Dead and Grey's Anatomy is 58. Actor Cheryl Lee of Twin Peaks is 57. Also 57 is TV personality Sherry Shepherd. Reality TV person Willie Robertson of Duck Dynasty is 52 years old today. Actor Amber Heard of Aquaman and The Rum Diary is 38. Musician Machine Gun Kelly is 34 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Some special events being acknowledged this week and today. It is National Park Week. It is Administrative Professionals Week. It is Infertility Awareness Week. It is Karaoke Week. It is Medical Laboratory Professionals Week. It is Crime Victims Rights Week. It is Playground Safety Week. It is Scoop the Poop Week.
Oh, jeez.
It is Youth Violence Prevention Week and World Immunization Week. It is In God We Trust Day. It is April Showers Day. It is Chemist Celebrate the Earth Day. It is Earth Day. It is Girl Scout Leader Day. And it is Jelly Bean Day. So those are all the events being acknowledged this week and also today.
We should be getting some April showers this week.
And we definitely will. Yeah, Brittany Merlot told us that we would be getting some April showers this week. But it's time now for our number for the day.
Yes.
And the last 2 weeks have been interesting because you've started out 0 for 4 each of the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday were bad days, but you were able to salvage Friday.
I was.
Go into the weekend with a W. So you're on a one-game winning streak, but we're going to try to get off to a better start. Not wait until Friday to get a W. Well,
let's start it early. Absolutely.
All right. Our number for the day today are deer vehicle collisions in the United States. And here in Wisconsin, I know a lot of people have to deal with deer on the highways and deer on the roads.
My dad is one of those people.
Yep. So deer vehicle collisions in the United States each year. Mm. All right. Is the correct answer 210,000? Is the correct answer 2.1 million?
Oh, my gosh.
Is the correct answer 21 million?
Okay, that's quite a jump.
I decided, I know what the number is, but I always decide what the numbers, the wrong numbers are. And sometimes I make them closer, and today I made them wider. Is it 210,000, 210,000, 2.1 million, or 21 million?
This is
deer vehicle collisions in the United States of America every year.
Okay, I'm not going to overthink this. I'm going to go B. I'm going to go, is it 2.1 million?
Yep, 2.1 million is
2.1 million. That's my final answer.
All right, correct answer.
I'm not overthinking it.
The correct answer for deer vehicle collisions in the United States each year is 2.1 million.
Wow.
So you got two in a row.
A good way to start a Monday.
Yep, that's already. That means all you'd have to do the rest of the week to be ahead of the curve is to get one more. Because as I've said before, if you get, because we have three choices every day, that's 33%. So you should get at least 33%. And when there's 5 days, you're either going to get 20% or 40% or 60% or 80% or even 100% or 0%. But you're off to, you already got a minimum of 20% for the week. All right, well.
Man, that's a lot of collisions.
Yes, it is. But it's
all over. I knew it wasn't going to be the lowest number, though, because, you know, a deer collisions happen a lot.
Yep, so. It does. Well, all right. Good way to start off our week and a good way to start your Monday.
Absolutely.
Have a good rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Monday, everybody. Enjoy the beautiful weather.
Absolutely. And stick around. Information update coming up, followed by Matinair on Air. That's coming up from 10 until noon. We'll be back tomorrow from 8 until 10 a.m. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.